Such a blessing to be here. Just want to honor Andries as the shepherd and your pastor in London, and he's such a blessing, him and Lisa, to us. And they've just received me so well. And yeah, so it's just a privilege to be here and to share the word. We're really looking forward to being here and to joining you guys in January. It's been an exciting few months, just you know the moves and the changes. But it's both Aaron and I. I'm really looking forward to joining family here because it already feels like family. So pray for us as we just finish off the last little bits there. But we're really looking forward to and just excited about what God is doing here and has in store for us forward. So that's such a blessing to be here. And yesterday when I arrived on the crack of dawn, Andries came to collect me at the airport and. You know, London is such a great city. So many things to do, places to see. So where do you think Andries took me yesterday? We went mountain biking in Swindley Forest, which is completely fine with me. I would have probably made the same kind of priority decision. And it was such a lot of fun. Andries did wait for me quite a bit, but... it's such a beautiful place, and I really enjoy that. I don't know if you've done any cycling, but, you know, sometimes when you cycle, and it just feels like something is wrong. You know, you're not going forward as you feel you should. And then what inevitably happens is you check your wheels, your tires. It feels like they're flat. But they're not really, you know, because you're just having an off day. Or you check your brakes. Maybe it feels like something is touching and it's breaking you the whole time. But something is keeping you back. The cyclists will know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, cycling against the wind. There's just this resistance all the time. Actually, athletes do that sometimes. They call it resistance training. I know swimmers put on these special costumes and that add more drag to when they're training. Are you with? You know what I'm talking about. And to make it harder, it looks ridiculous, but when they wear that stuff, but it apparently works. And even you know some athletes do that as well, running, put a little parachute behind them, all that type of thing. But what I'm talking about is a place where, and that sometimes in the spirit we feel like that. We feel like my wheels are flat. I'm going for it, but it's just such a struggle. You know. I'm running, or I'm pulling, but I'm pulling something extra. There's something that is weighing me down. There's something that's slowing me down. I'm tired, and it's not going as it should be going. We feel, and tonight I'm going to be looking at a little bit of that. You know, what are the things that slow us down? Why do we experience that dragging feeling, that weight that we sometimes carry? And some of you might identify with what I have to say and say, yes, yuck, yuck. Sometimes I go through a week like that. You know. Others might think, no, a week, I've been going like that for months. You know, is there anything other than that? You know, or you know, and so hopefully I'm trusting the Lord just to minister to some of us tonight, and especially you know, some we hear the words, you know, I'm burning out, or it's tough, or I'm struggling, or I'm straining, and. So that's kind of the direction we're going in tonight. Read with me from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're going to look a little bit more in detail of the scripture later on. But let's look at the definition of this thing that he talks about here, a yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And he says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Firstly, according to the dictionary definition, says that the yoke is a device for joining together a pair of draft animals. Nothing to do with beer. Okay, I don't know if any of you thought of that, but not draft like that. Okay, draft pulling animals, especially oxen, usually consisting of a cross piece with two bow-shaped pieces, each enclosing the head of an animal. And just to make that very clear, I've got you a picture. Okay, it's not that beautiful, but it's you get the idea. The top part is the yoke part, and normally two oxen next to each other, yoked together, and there's the illustration at the bottom. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a yoke. Normally what happened, that wooden thing that yokes them together is attached to a wagon or a plow or whatever they have to pull, and that means that their strength combined is kind of pulling this thing. Okay, you're all on the same page. Wonderful. Now, in life, we experience this heaviness, the stuff we drag behind us. This, you know, it's like if you're a hiker, a way of looking at it is, say if you're a hiker and you're busy on a hike and you pick up somebody else's backpack and you put it on, you immediately feel, oh, this is not right. You know, and if you would carry on with that thing, it will chafe you and it will hurt you and it will be terrible and it will slow you down. You will experience a lot of pain, etc. Same like getting on somebody else's bicycle with settings in the wrong place. If your seat is too low, it's not going to be good. You know. Or putting on somebody else's pair of shoes. It might work for a bit, but it's going to hurt in the end. You agree with me? So that's kind of the picture of the wrong yoke and the weight and the cares of the world and sometimes the stuff that we are laden with. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. It says you need to get rid of that yoke. And the one I want to give you is the good stuff. That's the good one, the right one. And we're going to get to that yoke a bit later. But let's look at what are the yokes and the chains and the burdens that we experience and that we kind of, you know, have to deal with. Firstly, we've got stuff from the past. Okay, we've got sin, iniquity, just the past in general. You know, we've got this accuser that comes and accuses us. That's his job. He does that day in, day out. He comes and reminds you of your past, tells you, you know, reminds you of the worst stuff that we've done and just where we're coming from. That comes with that shame, the guilt. A lot of us have maybe bitterness about things from the past, things that kind of still we're working through and it still kind of weighs us down. With that comes that condemnation. Important to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit and will draw you to the Father in that time of crisis or in that time where you realize there's something wrong. Where condemnation is from the enemy and kind of says you're a loser, you can't sort this out, you can't go to God like this. You know? Condemnation says, no, I need to kind of try and fix this, but I must first try and fix this and then maybe. But it kind of draws you away from the Father, where conviction makes us run to Jesus, makes us run to God. There's the whole law thing, you know. I mean, we are under the law, we still, it's interesting, you know, I've seen it many times, even in my own life, we, you know, the law is designed, the law of Moses, Ten Commandments, designed to for us to look in, at it like a mirror and to see, oh dear, this is the state that I'm in. I need the grace of God. I need to receive grace from God. I can't meet the standard. I need grace and I need Jesus to be able to be in right standing with God. But many of us see that and we come to God, we come into relationship with Jesus, and then somehow we go back to the law and we say, okay, now I'm going to do this thing, type of thing, and now I'm going to kind of make it happen, or I'm going to see if I can be successful in it. And we go right back under it. So there's that striving. There's a performance or a slave mentality. Instead of being a son or a daughter in the house of God, we still feel we need to kind of earn His acceptance, earn His love, something I was doing for a long time. And many times it comes from our relationship with our parents, you know. And I was like that. I always felt I needed to prove myself to my dad. Got to do well at school and sports and everything so that my dad can affirm me and so that I can get his affirmation and his acceptance in a way. And I related to the Lord in a very similar way, trying to earn his acceptance and his approval and trying to, by the things I did, trying to earn his love like that. So there's that performance thing where God wants to say, I just I love you just the way you are. You're great. I love you. You're amazing. I love you so much. I'm going to take you from there, and I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to restore you, and I've got a plan, and you fit into my purpose. And you know, but don't strive, don't perform for God. His love for us is absolutely perfect. And then there's the stuff of the world, you know, the society we find ourselves in, the career, a lot of stress there, you know, I've got to make it happen. I know you guys, it's not like that in London. There's no such thing as a rat race here in Johannesburg. It's very tough. But in the tubes yesterday, it just amazes me. It's weekend, but people are so into that thing. Keep to the right, you know, and you have to, everybody's charging past you on the escalator. And then I said, okay, let me also do that thing. And I was like running up and down the escalators. But have you ever thought about it, that if you win the rat race, you're still a rat? That's just for somebody, I don't know for who, just for free. So we have this career thing, this running after stuff, stress that we take on. Fears, a lot of fears, fear of rejection, whether it be from God or from people, fear of failure, fear of man. So many kind of fears that weigh us down, that kind of burden us. And you know, a lot of these fears and from our past and things, it's like a chain that binds you to your past and that keeps you from actually moving forward. Money, whether it's too much or too little, it seems like always, you know, is a problem. The guys that have too much are miserable. The guys that have too little are depressed. You know, it's money is a great servant, but a poor master. And can't go into that today, but it plays a big role. Pressures of your, whether it be family or society or friends or relational things, a lot of pressures that from every side. Come with expectations. You know, sometimes we put them on ourselves. I want to be there. I want to accomplish this. All these kind of things I have to measure up to. So that's just, you know what I'm talking about. I know many of you don't struggle with this stuff. It's just me. But if you can identify with some of them, then we're going somewhere. But the big thing here is that God says all this stuff is real. Okay, it's reality. We experience it, and it weighs us down. It slows us down. It's this heaviness sometimes that we carry with us. But he says, I've got something else that I've prepared for you. I've got another dispensation. I've got a whole different way of life that I've prepared for you in Christ. And that's where we're getting at. And Psalm 38, verse 4, Psalms writes about iniquity. He says, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. That stuff from the past, that sin that ensnares us, the stuff that alienates us from God, even that sinful nature that we are born with, it's not something that we can fix. Okay, and he kind of experiences that heaviness. Let's look at Psalm 55:22. It says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So we see a promise of a place of safety, a place of sustenance, a place of stability, a place of provision. He says, if we get rid of this burden onto God, He promises that amazing place of peace, place of rest, safety, like I said, and provision. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Now this is very kind of real to me. I experienced this specifically one place in my life about just under 3 years ago, before we got married, Adam and I. Just a short illustration. What happened is we came back from India. We went on a mission trip together, and those India trips are pretty expensive if you're operating in rands. And so we've kind of poured all our finances into that. I remember obviously before that, you know, the whole engagement ring thing, and you know, you want to do everything you got, you know, got four in there, and the Lord just made amazing way for that as well. And then went to India, came back, and then I had absolutely zero in in a bank type of thing. And then I thought, okay, no problem. Got about 6 months before the honeymoon, or a little bit less. So I'm going to just like work hard, extra hours, do all this stuff, and then trust God to, you know, go all out. And I was full of faith because I just came from a mission trip. How amazing is that? You know, God healing people, delivering, it's amazing. So I booked the most amazing holiday that you can imagine, the most amazing honeymoon in, you know, Thailand, Singapore, the whole deal. And I just feel peace of mind. God says, go for it, my son. This is it, you know, this is only once. So, which is good, this is right. But now the travel agent, she's now just, you know, they're actually moving to Pretoria, also him and her husband, Alistair. She doesn't know that I'm making these bookings without a cent, okay? So I only told her that later. But now everything is cool. And then I realized, okay, there's actually a place where you, with this type of trips, you have to pay a lot of stuff in advance. I didn't know that then. I thought, okay. So by August, I had to kind of pay most of it. And by that, I had like not even a third, not even a quarter. And stress set in, real stress. I'm not somebody that gets very heavy or tense, but then I was really heavy. Okay, I was thinking, ah, now what have I done? You know, what this is, what am I going to tell this lady? I don't have the bucks, you know, what am I going to do? And I remember going to Pastor Sias and telling him, listen, you need to pray with me. You know, I'm really stressing out. I don't get this heavy, you know. And he said, listen, this is what the scripture says. Take this care, make a decision, make a choice, and just cast it on Jesus. If you've started in faith and you heard from the Lord, just continue in that. And I remember just having to make a decision, and that's what it is, people, to choose. I'm going to take this stuff, I'm going to cast it upon Jesus, because that's what he says in his word. And I remember praying that with Sias, and it's like this mountain came off me. You know? And immediately I could just experience God's peace and his joy, and I still didn't have any money. But within about a week and a half, and you can ask me about the details later, but God, in the strangest ways, from all different directions, people gave me money that I didn't even know them. But God made provision, and he provided in even more than I could have imagined. So this is like very real to me. And I want to challenge you that's what it takes. It's a decision. It's a choice that we make. Say, Lord, I'm in this thing. It's weighing me down. It's stressing me out. And I'm going to choose to cast this thing upon you because you care for me. Psalm 81:6. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. That complete release of that burden. Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass on that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And that's interesting again, speaking of a yoke, and this is again, it's the wrong yoke, okay? And the powerful thing it says here, it speaks of a yoke being destroyed. Now, sometimes when we quote this, we're talking about a yoke being broken. And I see it like this, that something that's broken, you can fix again, and you can actually take it up again, that wrong yoke. But he speaks of the anointing oil here, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, destroying the yoke, completely annihilating, obliterating. It cannot be fixed. It is gone, finished, sorted out. By the Holy Spirit, God has got a deliverance for us from that stuff that weighs us down, this yoke on your neck, this thing that is not of him, that is weighing you down, slowing you down, burdening you, tying you to your past. By the Holy Spirit, he sets us free from that. Completely destroyed that yoke. And Nahum 1:13, and now I break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds apart. Such a powerful picture of God just destroying the chains that bind us, bursting them apart, getting rid of the stuff that binds us. Again, it's a place of I need to position myself. I need to get to that place where I can allow God to do this in my life, where I can allow him and see him deliver me from this stuff. And then in Galatians 5, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Again, such a powerful thing. He says, for freedom. Why has Christ set us free? For freedom. Many of us go through life and we kind of settle for this stuff. We kind of accept this heaviness or these weights and these burdens. And we think, oh, it's probably just me or it's just part of the deal. But it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then very importantly, he said, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So what does it mean? It means we choose to submit to that thing. We submit under the yoke of slavery. We submit under that burden. We submit under that weight, that thing from the past, that stuff that kind of ties us down. And in other words, again, it's a choice to be made. Am I gonna stay under that thing, or am I going to grab a hold of the freedom for which Christ has set me free? I will not submit again to that yoke of slavery. Christ has paid the price. He has finished the work. He has made a way. And I can grab a hold of that freedom for which He set us free. And so if you identify with some of this tonight, I'm coming to the good news. Aren't you glad? That Christ has made a way for us to experience a complete different way, a complete new, different, that safe place where you're in a yoke with Him, that thing that He has designed for us, that place that He has designed for us. And that is like cycling with the wind from behind. Or, you know, if you can imagine, I'm using the cycling example, but when you're cycling in somebody's slipstream, it means that they're doing most of the hard work and you're behind them, and the wind that breaks over them basically almost pulls you in to a certain extent. If there's a bunch, it actually pulls you in because of the turbulence. And this thing that God has designed for us, this place, is basically you riding in Jesus' slipstream, and he's pulling you in. His strength is making provision for you, and is making a way for you, and making. And the wind is at your back, and it's you putting in effort, and you're focused, and you're going for it, but it just works. Let's read that Matthew 11 again. It says, come to me, and when I look at some specific parts here, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's where we want to get that. What is that rest that God is taking? What is that yoke? Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. See this, humble. And you will find rest for your souls. I'm going to look at that. Rest for your soul. Doesn't sound like a good place? Rest for my soul. I think that sounds like a good promise. And then it says, for my yoke is easy. And if you look at the word there, it speaks of gracious. It's gracious. It's full of grace. And my burden is light. So what is Jesus' answer for burnout or this heaviness, this labor, this stuff that we have? Okay, it's his rest and it's his yoke. And I need to quickly, Gibby, can you mind quickly helping me with the illustration? For this example, I will be Jesus. Okay, just an example, and Gibby will be Gibby. And my arm is the yoke. Is it all right?
Yes.
Okay, so now we are yoked together. And you'll notice that if I turn, and we look in the same direction or the other way, or if we go, we change direction, it's quite an amazing thing because Gibby and I are obviously in agreement. And even if we walk somewhere, you know. It's great. Thanks, Gibby. You're a great example. And but the amazing thing of this illustration that Jesus uses, he says, yoke with me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And what they used to do is they would take an experienced ox, and then if they have a young oxen coming in, they would put the young one with the older one, the experienced one, so that he can learn, so that he can, you know, get into, this is the way we do things. How powerful is this picture where Jesus says, listen, I can see you taking strain. I see you don't have a clue. Come here next to me and look where I'm looking. Do what I do And you see, we were close. Now, you can tell you here, this is the way we're going to do it. It's close. It's here. It's intimate. We got to go this way. We got to go that way. And there's such an amazing picture of Jesus inviting us to say, listen, I have the answer for your struggle. You need to come alongside me. You need to come to hear. You need to hear my voice. It's close. It's no shouting from far. It's intimate. It's right here. In step with him. We're going in the right direction. We're looking in the same way. We're focusing on the same things. We're yoking together with him. That's the picture that he paints here. And another thing is, you see, it's a learning process. You know, we get so tough. I get very irritated with myself if I'm not performing up to standard, you know, the whole performance thing. Or, you know, why are things taking so long? But Jesus is saying, I know this is a process. I know where you're at, but I also know where I'm taking you. You know, Jesus washes the disciples' feet and he celebrates their destiny because he knows where they're going. He knows what where those feet will go and what they will accomplish for his name. In the same way, he says, I see where you're at. I see the struggles that you're dealing with. But I want you to come here close with me. And I've got a place prepared for you. I've got a yoke that is made for you. That picture, of it fits like a glove. Okay, partnership with the Holy Spirit. Rest for your soul. A backpack that is designed to fit you. That thing that will it is designed for you. It won't. It's not going to chafe. It's going to. Obviously, there's still a cause. There's still something that we're pulling, and we're accomplishing something with him. We're in partnership. We're going somewhere. But he says, "This yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's gracious." What is that? Where do we find that place? The right shoes, the right backpack. You know, the thing that fits perfectly, that is designed for that specific environment and that specific place. If you know airplanes, then you might know of the Blackbird SR-71. Anyone? It's an old plane. It's not new, but it was designed for reconnaissance. And it goes very high into the atmosphere. The guys that operate it need to wear like space suits and do oxygen and everything. And high speed goes about 7 times the speed of sound. It's quite fast, if you're thinking about that. If you're going with your jumbo 747, you normally just look about 900 k's an hour. This is, you're looking at just 1,100, and then times 7. Okay? So this thing is designed for extreme speed and operating there in the outer reaches of the atmosphere. And it goes so fast, they have pictures, when they take their reconnaissance pictures, you can see the missiles that were launched to destroy the plane. But they're too slow because the plane moves very quickly. So on the pictures, the missiles are there, and the pictures are obviously then developed, and you see, they didn't make it type of thing. But what I'm saying is, when this thing is on the runway, I think it's beautiful, but it's actually ugly. It looks lump, you know, it's sleek and everything, but it's got a bit of a funny shape. The fuel oozes from the petrol tank. It's almost leaking fuel because it's designed for that specific place. At high speed, everything expands, the fuel, you know, the whole thing gets hot, and then the fuel doesn't leak anymore, okay? On the runway, it's very difficult to maneuver. It's not agile at all. But when it's in that environment, on the outer reaches of the atmosphere, there's nothing that can come close to this thing. And the picture I'm painting here is of the difference between when we on the runway, standing still, and when we're yoking with Jesus, for we has designed us to go. And that, then everything falls into place. Everything works, and there's a whole new dispensation that operates. Are you still with me? I'm using extreme examples here. And what is this place? What is this yoke that Jesus has for us? What is that place that we were designed for? Read with me from Luke chapter 19. What is Jesus all about? He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is about his Father's business. That's his yoke. He's about the glory of the Father. He's about seeing the knowledge of the glory of God cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I'm here to seek and to save the lost. I've come to fulfill the law. I'm about preparing the bride of Christ to be a glorious bride. That's his passion. That's what Jesus is about. This is his yoke. That is his desire. That is his purpose. That is his plan for us. And he's calling us to yoke with him. He's calling us to come alongside him and to yoke with him in this thing. And many times we get it all wrong. We think, okay, Lord, I'm running after this thing. Please help me here. Please, you know, bless me in this thing. And we're struggling and we've got these burdens and we've got these weights and, you know, everything is a struggle. And Jesus says, listen, that's all good and fine, but your first place is here. Your first place of priority, your first commitment is here with me. It's next to me. It's to yoke with me. It's to see where I see. It's to turn where I turn. It's to focus where I'm focusing. It's to pull where I'm pulling. And this is where his heart is at. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 6. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, that is the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. That's his passion, to see everybody saved, to see all men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Matthew 28. Sorry, I'm breathing in this thing. 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he delegates. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is his last words kind of thing, you know. Guys, this is the plan. This is the mission. This is the purpose why we're here. I'm with you. All authority has been given to me. I delegate that authority. This is my yoke. I want you to yoke with me in this thing. All the nations. Do you see that Jesus isn't somebody that thinks small? Okay. Every man to be saved. All men to be, all people to be saved. Go into all the nations. Disciples, make disciples of all the nations. Same in Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now it goes even greater than the people of creation, all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Amazing assignment. Incredible promise that Jesus has on his heart. And it's big. It's big words. It's wide statements. It's going, this is the plan. This is the mission. This is the yoke that I've got. And I want you to be a part of it. I'm inviting you to yoke with me. Incredible promises with that. You know, we run after miracles. We run after deliverance. But God, Jesus says, as we move with him, miracles and signs will follow automatically. We don't have to run after them. You know, we don't have to run after, normally, you know, we kind of focused on the healing, and focused on the miracle, focused on that. But when we yoke with Christ, when we're running with him, this stuff will, the miracles and the signs and the wonders will follow us. They will be an automatic outflow of us yoking with him, of us putting our faith and our strength and everything that we are into what his plan is, what his purpose is. So what is that specific yoke for us in Shofar? If you're a visitor, please just bear with me for a moment. Our yoke is the whole gospel to the whole world, to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. And you know, many times we kind of think, who thought up these things? Did Pastor Fred maybe lying next to his pool one Saturday afternoon and thought, oh, this sounds cool, you know. This will look impressive on a board somewhere, like that. And, if we think about this, it's so much more. Just going to digress a little bit. I mean, Abram, when you read in Genesis, with Abram walking a road with God, and God calling out him out from where he is, and Abram doesn't know about the Ten Commandments or about Jesus. He just knows God, and he experiences God in an incredible way, and we see him trusting and believing in him. And one of the most amazing examples of one of the turning points in his relationship with God is where, after God has given him all these incredible promises of nations and generations, and you know, your offspring will be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky. You've got these huge, powerful promises, and he doesn't have any children. Okay, so then Isaac comes along, the son of promise, the one through whom all these promises will come to pass, which his birth was a complete miracle on its own. And then God says, Abram, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one that you love. Can you see how he makes sure that Abram knows who he's talking about? Your son, your only son, the one that you love. I want to take that son, Isaac. I want you to bring him as an offering to me. If it was me, I said, okay, Lord, let me pray and fast for 3 weeks. That's what we do often. But Abram, the next morning, he packs his things, and him and Isaac are off, and he goes to be obedient. And the whole story, at the moment where Abram wants to slay his son, God intervenes and says, Abram, whoa, right there, I've made provision. And then he says the most powerful thing. And again, this is interesting here, because Abram had two sons. Okay, he had Ishmael as well. But God says specifically, your son, your only son, son that you love. And he's actually also making reference to Jesus Christ. Okay, so right there he says, Abram, now that I see that you have not withheld your son. I see that you have not withheld your son, your only son, the son that you love. I know that that you take me seriously, that I can take you seriously, that you love me and that you fear me. And people, how much more can you and I stand here today, 2,000 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and we can look to God and we can say, Lord, now that I can see that you have not withheld your son, your only son, the son that you love, I know that you love me. I know that that love that you have for me goes beyond what I can imagine, what I can understand, what I've experienced before. I know that you love me because you have not withheld your son. And that is the context in which we must understand this vision. Is out of that unfathomable love that is greater than anything we can actually understand, Jesus, God says, I love you so much, I'll give you this. This is the vision that I've got for you. This is the marching orders, the instructions that I give to you. I love you so much, this is what I give to you. Because we sometimes think, what's this thing? What's this vision thing? You know, it's another burden. But God says, no, I love you. I love you so much, and that's why I've given you this. And you know, I've also spent some time in the defense force, like Andres, not as long as he was, but I understand the whole thing of marching, a commission or a marching order or an instruction. And this is what this is, you know. When a guard is given a post, like apparently these guards at the Buckingham Palace, I haven't really seen them up close, but I've heard that they just kind of don't move. Is it true? Is it there at Buckingham? They don't flinch. They don't, you can make jokes with him. Is it true? Okay. Now imagine that guy there. He's standing there. He's not moving. He's standing at his post. Doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing or whatever it does here, everything. That's his post. And he will stay there until he's relieved. Many times we get super spiritual with God and say, no, I think I've got a word, I need to move somewhere, or I need to change my job, it's getting uncomfortable, the boss doesn't like me. And the same with churches, you know, we run this way and that way, but I want to challenge us tonight that unless you are relieved of that, this position, this mark, this instruction that God has given us, you and I are going to stick it out, whether it rains or pours, or whether it hails or snows, because that is the marching orders, that is the post that we have. And unless we get different instructions, that's where we're going to be. Isn't that exciting? And God has made a provision for whatever we may face. He has made a way. And I don't know why I threw that in there. But this vision comes out of the love of the Father. This purpose, this set of instructions is our yoke. It's the yoke that Jesus has for us, where He says, come and yoke with me. This is my heart. This is my desire. This is my passion. I want you to come alongside me. I want you to whisper into your ear. I want to tell you what's on my heart. I want you to see what I see. I want you to get excited about what I'm excited about. I want you to stay in step with what I'm doing. I've got a place that I've prepared for you like nothing else. Fits like a glove. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be weighty times. But it's my yoke, and it's with me, and my strength is going to carry you through. It's not always comfortable. There's going to be circumstances that are tough, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anywhere else than right there next to you. I don't want to be anywhere getting tips from anybody else if I can get them from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus. If I can learn from Him, if I can hear what He has to say, if I can hear what's His design, what's His heart, and what's His passion. That's where I want to be. Some of you might be saying, you know, I've got, the Lord's given me a vision for Africa or for the Eskimos, or, you know, I want to reach people, I want to minister to them, or I've got a vision for, you know, community stuff. And you know what? Most of those are from the Lord. But dare I say that the instructions that God has given to us as a body, the vision that He has out of His love given to us, take priority. And you will find, and let's just read from Luke 16, before I get to that, 10 to 12. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you then have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, talking about finances, who will entrust to you the true riches? Excuse me. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So I want to say to you, if you got a vision on your heart and you know God has called you to make big bucks for the kingdom, or, you know, business or whatever it is, I want to challenge you with the fact that God's going to test you, every one of us. Say, listen, what do you do with somebody else? If this is not you primarily, if you didn't think up this stuff next to the pool one day, God's going to test you on how faithful are you with someone else's. God's going to see, what are you doing with this heart, with this vision, this passion that is mine, that is Jesus' vision, that is His, in His love that He has given us as a body. And that's going to be the first step. Before we get to your career and your and my vision and dreams and things that we have and what we know God has given us glimpses of, there's a place of first, Lord, saying, I want to see what you do with someone else's. I want to see how faithful, what do you do with this stuff? What do you do with this yoke? And it's, you know, guys, when I talk about this, I get so excited, because there's nothing more fulfilling, there's nothing more inspiring, there's nothing more just incredible than to partner with God and to see someone's life change and to see someone experience the love of God for the first time, to see someone meet Christ and to have a little bit of a part in it, to yoke with Jesus and to see His kingdom established in someone's life. There's nothing. Jesus says, you know, when He ministers to the woman at the well, the disciples are gone to go to get some food, and they come back and He says, no, I'm not hungry. And it says, the food, my food is to do the will of my Father. It's fulfilling. It fills you up. It nourishes you. It's like this the best meal. It's in every way, it's what feeds us and what nourishes us. And it's there's nothing like it. Tonight, if Gibby and Oz can come up, I've got just a few things on my heart in terms of just what the Lord wants to minister tonight. And the first one is, as I know it was a bit heavy there at the beginning, all these yokes and the chains and the things, but tonight I really believe that there's an anointing to destroy yokes, not just to put them aside for a bit, to take them up again in the week, but to destroy. But it's a choice that you and I make. I say, Lord, tonight, if you can stand with me, please. Tonight, I want to take this weight off. I want to throw it as far as from here as possible onto Jesus, and I want to enter into that rest that you have made provision for. I don't want to settle for anything less anymore. I don't want to sit with this fear for one more day. I don't want to I don't want to drag this thing from my past along anymore. I want to take a hold of the rest that you have made provision for. And that's a choice. That's a decision. That's something that you and I can grab a hold of tonight. Fears of failure, you know, fear of man. If you know that you're bowing under strain from work and from careers and from circumstance and finances, whatever you're experiencing. And I just, if you just close our eyes for a moment, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and just expose things in our hearts and show us the yokes that we still carry and the burdens that we carry with us. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would point out to us now, Lord, Holy Spirit, the stuff that we're dragging with us, Lord, the stuff that is slowing us down, Lord, the yokes that are not of you, Lord, that are chafing and are weighing us down, Lord, that are burdening us, Lord, and killing us slowly, day by day. Father, I thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, right now that you expose them in every life. It's just by your conviction of your spirit to say, this is not of me. This is something you need to lay aside. Holy Spirit, that you convict every heart now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, of every fear, of everything that binds us, Lord, of every even mindset, Lord, that keeps us from your plan, Lord, keeps us from your perfect will, Father. Thank you, Lord, that as your scripture says, that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. God, and tonight, Lord, we don't want to, for one more moment, one more day, we don't want to settle for the stuff that the enemy throws at us. We don't want to drag the stuff behind us anymore, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you'd show us right now what is the stuff that we need to lay down, the sins that so easily ensnare us, the weights, the burdens, that we can cast them upon you, Lord, because you care, Lord Jesus. You care for us.